Dear friends, it gives me great pleasure to welcome Mr. Ayogi here, who is our UNESCO representative in Delhi, and he is proposed to give a small talk about the long association Orwell has had with UNESCO. I will not stand in the way of all of you and his speech. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Should I stand or may I talk?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Chinkas and Madam Patel, I feel very comfortable here, sandwiched by the Indian colleagues. But more importantly, as you know, UNESCO is the international organization, UN organization. Then I'm the international civil servant who are supposed not to have any specific nationality. So I think I understand that the spirit of your mind living here is very similar to us, that beyond the border, beyond the country, but we will address the issues, many issues. As you may know, the UNESCO has long associated with the Orwell, even before its foundation. The UNESCO recognized Orwell in the year of 1966, and we started our official relationship since then. I understand that you had, when you organized the inauguration session of this beautiful site, you had as many as 124 countries and all the representatives from the Indian states here get together to celebrate the foundation. To understanding they were here to celebrate not the kind of the infrastructural and settlement, but the starting of the good spirit and gathering of the good-minded people. Since then, the UNESCO passed a couple of resolutions indicating and encouraging the member states. We are, by the way, we have the more than 190 member states. As you may know, the Palestine was one of the most new members, which created some kind of the political problems. But we, UNESCO, welcomed the Palestine and all the people. Well, the resolution recommended the member states to develop the association and participate in the development of the Orwell. And recently, the last year, I think, yes, the General Conference was held, this year. We also passed a resolution, and again, revisit our association with Orwell, and also it was last year, the executive board meeting. we revisit the collaboration, and then again invited member states to further collaborate for the development of Orwell. So the reason why the UNESCO is so seriously involved in the association with one body is that we share the common vision or common mandate. We address the issue of peace, we address the issue of diversity, cultural diversity, and we respect the issue of the respect for the environment. And all these elements are categorized and culminated in the Sustainable Development Goals, which was adopted in the UN General Assembly in the year 2015. The Sustainable Development Goals have the 17 goals and 169 targets, which were supposed to be met and achieved by the member states. The one of the most important Sustainable Development Goals is education. The education Sustainable Development Goal number 4 that encourages the country to ensure the equitable and inclusive quality education for all and promotion of lifelong learning. As I said, we share a common vision. You are one of the most important principles unending education. It's really, really close to our mandate to promote lifelong learning. If we look at the education sector, the CN, the nowadays, the Earth itself, this planet itself is a very gigantic classroom. All the kids, girls and boys, youngsters, the adults can learn wherever you are and anytime, at any pace, because of, thanks to the great development of ICTs. The internet has a huge data. If I say in a very blunt way, all the text and the curriculum of school education could be found in the internet. Starting from early childhood education to higher education, if one small, very small and smart girl wanted to see or to listen the lecture of the Cambridge, then she has access. So the role of education is changing in a very drastic way. We call it education paradigm shift. And in this paradigm shift, the role of teachers and role of schools, such very conventional way of delivering education, have to be revisited. In the past, role of education is just transfer the value and knowledge of the society and the culture, same culture background. At that time, the teacher's role is very important because the teacher is only one source to pull all the knowledge and then give it to the students. With the Industrial Revolution, the role of education changed slightly. The education did not were expected to look at aspect of the market. The role, one of the role, biggest role of education was at that time to produce the human resources, to contribute to the economic development, and to increase the productivity. Now, we are living in a more complex time. That's why we have the Sustainable Development Goals to be introduced, which has the mainly three components. The one is economical development, the environmental preservation, and the social and cultural development. I found a lot of things we should learn from your way of living. As I said at the very beginning, you are living in harmony beyond the borders. That is one of the most important but most challenging elements of SDG 4. And we particularly think importance of the SDG 4.7, in which we try to promote the education for sustainable development and education for global citizenship and education for peace. I think in this element, especially in the schools, and the teachers, they are not so ready to provide such kind of contents of education to the kids. Rather, we should learn in a more informal way, more practical way. And I found this place, the people living here, is really, really informative and a source of inspiration and a source of more relevant intervention in this field. We have a lot of challenges now. The AI and automation are now developing a lot, and many people, according to the many studies, a lot of people may lose the current job in 10, 20 years. So the human being are now requested and have to be ready for this kind of new trend. Of course, AI and automation is the divine of the human being, but it is now coming up and catching up in many senses. So what's the difference between machine and us? I think the many answers are here. That's my kind of observation. when I attended the today's very important and impressive dance revelation event. Happy birthday, and then thank you so much.
I would like to invite Esther Patel to say a few words.
Dr. Ayub, we are very happy, all of us, to have heard you, which we have done with great attention. Since our gathering is on the 50th anniversary of Arvind, and you are visiting us on that special day occasion for us, and the point that you have highlighted, you would allow me, as my friends would be happy to hear, to share frankly. Our association of the Arvind experiment with UNESCO began with the first resolutions and presentation at Paris headquarters from 1965 onwards. Actually, even prior to that, there were colloquies at UNESCO headquarters on Shobindo and the Yadashada. So the process had started much earlier, and in 1970, Arvind went to the United Nations in New York for the World Youth Assembly for its Silver Jubilee celebration. So there's been a very long process. Now I would like to come to two or three very basic points. First is, when we look at the world situation, it's in a kind of deep cover of tension from one end of the world and around the globe at every level. Somewhere, as we feel that the experiment of Arvind and the spirit and atmosphere of it that you spoke of earlier, which you've sensed in the Delhi event, has to be able to offer a kind of a hope to the world. And more than that, I think the world needs a new vision. It does not have a vision at the moment. That was UNESCO's founding charter. But over the decades, obviously the situations at the ground level of the world have changed. And we need a new vision to project us into the future. You touched secondly on the point of education. And the change in education, the reversal, began with the students' movement in Paris in May 68. That's the time that the big universities of Europe and of the US later went through a complete turning point that they wanted something new. And that had been carried on. So much so that at a certain time, UNESCO headquarters set up three commissions of education, of international experts, and they brought out major volumes, the first one under Edgar Faure, if you remember. So those were treasures of lifelong learning, treasures within, the hidden treasures within. So there's been a whole stage. Now that is the pattern of education that the mother has set in our will, and even prior to the founding of our will. So those are things which we'll be very happy to share with you, and which we have already, a process has already begun with the founding of a UNESCO office based in Delhi, with a building of its own, and covering this entire region with India as its base. I would only suggest this, that in the year to come, if are working together with the groups in Arvind that are directly engaged in education at all levels of the schoolings, from creche to kindergarten to high schools and beyond, adult education, because it's a lifelong learning process, and UNESCO bodies, we can create a kind of a pattern of world education, because when we do it here, we have over 55 countries that are present. So it's already a world community in miniature, as a microcosm. So we can interact over the year, create a new pattern, and perhaps by next year, another year round, we could have a conference on education right here in Norway. that would be something that would be worthwhile. I would leave these points and leave it to you to follow up with the rest of the morning.
Thank you very much for this introduction and to looking back about the heritage we had together with UNESCO, which is in the meantime more than 50 years. But I would like to look a little bit forward, and the last change when we met the first time was in New Delhi. I think Fred has to say also something to it. And it was already on the issue of common elements of education. Also what has been called by the UNESCO in the goal 4.0 and 4.7 as holistic education or the lifelong education is called for us integral education or un-any education. And if you're looking into details, we are very close to it and we have a good understanding, and not only in the field of, let us say, direct education. Number two, the idea to grow in something new for the next year is an excellent idea. And I think we should work for it all together, whoever has been carrying it. But I think that maybe that also Charlie is here. She is the chief executive of the Sri Aurobindo International Institute for Educational Research, and a good address for this topic. I would like to shift a little bit the attention, because we have a lot of people here from the international community, and they are keen to discuss with you on real ground. So what I have prepared is, I have the fifth resolution for the war. We can all see what has been said and meant and stated in this resolution. And then we can go on this line with questions and answers, in a sense, can the UNESCO help us to reach out with our idea? Can we help you to cooperate closer? Do you have, or do we have ideas to spread our common interest for peace, building conscious for peace, men, women, and children? I wanted to add it since in the morning, yeah? So before we are getting to the fifth resolution, could you bring it, Rani? I would like to invite Frederick, who was also in New Delhi, to say some words about his understanding, because he's one of the gentlemen who was the very first day here in Auroville. You met already, but it would be nice to hear you, Frederick.
Thank you very much, Dr. Nyamuki. I would like first to take the occasion to express the gratitude on behalf of Auroville and the AVIS to UNESCO in Delhi, and to Dr. Yogi especially, to have hosted us when we were in November. And it gave a great encouragement that an international body readily opened their door and their building to house this exhibition. And we give you an advance warning, we might be turning up again in the end of the year. So I would also like to say that UNESCO's actually quite amazing. Aster says 65, I know of 66 resolution. 2 years before Auroville was actually inaugurated, UNESCO took it up. And I recall in some statements, there was a wind of change during that time. My mother actually makes some comments and says, the world is interested, America is interested, Russia is interested, United Nations is interested. It was like something was going on. We were all dreaming of a one world. It took a bit longer, and it is taking a bit longer. But I think with UNESCO's support and signaling that UNESCO is standing behind us, it has helped us a lot also through very difficult times. And we were pushed into a little corner of just dissidents and troublemakers. UNESCO stood firm with us, and that gave us a big backing. So there's another point where we would like to express our gratitude. And for the future, taking the presence of you being here, I think the international representative of the AVIS could take the occasion and appeal to the government to establish the International Advisory Council. That has not happened yet. And I think if we were able to move this a bit after the PM's visit now, I think it would be a great thing, because you have to remember why that International Advisory Body was put there. And just to get ourselves onto the same In effect, it was the then Prime Minister Indira Gandhi who felt that there should be an international body guaranteeing, vouchsafing that Auroville does not become a government institution, like what happened to Shantiniketan Vishwabharati, which was taken over. And I think over the 50 years, or whenever, 1989, when the International Advisory Body came in, they always have maintained that sense that there is another dimension of Auroville. And I think it's very important that we not only have the governing board, but that element of its internationality, which UNESCO truly represents. And I appeal to you, and we can take it further, the AVIs, to make this appeal. And you might recall that the Director General of UNESCO, I think three or four times, were members of the International Advisory Council. And they played a very important role to always bring whatever has been field-tested, experimented in Auroville, a step further. I mentioned in Delhi that there is, I think, Sri Aurobindo, a kind of three steps which make sure that what you are saying and what you're doing is bound, is linked to your own experience. You research, you apply, and you extend. And I think Auroville is truly come now into the third stage where, not that we have the ready answers, but we are ready to open up and recognize that what they call in Sanskrit Brihad, the wideness of Auroville. And I think your presence here is a very beautiful signal for that aspect. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Fred. And I think it's enough been said from this side in one direction. I would like to open up a dialogue or a kind of interaction. And if you don't mind, I would really like somebody from the Auroville international community to ask questions, to make their own observation, and have somebody in mind already. It's you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm very happy to speak on behalf of Auroville International, and we are especially grateful that in this fifth resolution, Auroville International actually is mentioned, and also the international zone is mentioned, and the UNESCO member states are invited to help in the development of the international zone. So it reads there. Acknowledging that.
Next. Two. Three. Can see it.
The international centers have been established in many countries of the world, which are engaged in bringing youth from their countries into contact with the aims and ideals of Auroville, and in facilitating internships, volunteer stays, and academic research programs. I think we can really say that over the years we have brought so many young people, young volunteers to Auroville, who came with their own aspiration and their questions to life. And what they have learned in Auroville and what they can bring back to their home and what they learn for their own life and the direction they get from the experience in Auroville, the deep inner answers to their inner quest. I think that is very valuable. And we are, as the international centers, we are very much focused on this, the aspect of education that you mentioned, Mr. Ayogi. And also, a bit further down, it is mentioned the international zone. If you could just scroll down a bit, please. Acknowledging that Auroville is inviting all nations of the world to participate in its development, especially of its international zone, which is designated as an educational campus hosting cultural pavilions of all nations or groups of nations expressing the genius of each culture. So quite naturally, our Oroville International Network is very much focused on fostering international zone development. And for this, the mother has specifically said the governments should be involved for their own good, because if they are brought into contact with Oroville, the force of the mother can also spread and work on the nations. So my question would be, if we, or I would like to say that these resolutions, these UNESCO resolutions, already have helped us a lot in reaching out. It's obviously something that we can show to government agencies and people where we hope we get support for Oroville. And I think this fifth resolution, we are especially grateful for it because it specifically mentions this. So my question would be that there are UNESCO offices in most countries, as far as I know. And I know that so many resolutions are always passed in the General Assemblies, so they may not be aware of the Oroville resolution specifically. So I would like to ask for your advice how we could reach out to these UNESCO offices and ask for their collaboration, and perhaps also they could open up ways and channels that they already have with our governments and other NGOs and other agencies.
Thank you very much.
Well, it's really great resolution. I think the step be further if we compare with the other the previous resolutions. As you said, yes, we do have the field offices, but we do have the field offices in 54 countries in the world. Some categories are there. We have the regional office, we have a cluster office, and we have country office. In case of New Delhi office, it is called cluster office for South Asia. My office is looking after six countries, of course including India, Bhutan, Bangladesh, Nepal, Sri Lanka, and Maldives. In Bangladesh and Nepal, we have the country office. And the country which has UNESCO office has relatively very much aware of the UNESCO's relationship with other agencies, organizations, such as the Oroville. I'm not quite sure how many centers you have. You said in the morning some 34 international centers?
34 international centers throughout the world, some bigger, some just small representations, but they are a voice of one country.
Okay. And in most OECD countries, the developed countries, we don't have office. So that's the kind of the things we have to consider. I understand that your international center is located mainly in the OECD countries.
Right? Yes, Europe in particular.
And where the UNESCO National Commission is taking a very big role in promoting UNESCO activities. German National Commission for UNESCO, French National Commission for UNESCO, UK, the National Commission for UNESCO, they are very strong in promoting UNESCO's mandate and objectives in their countries because there is no office. Now, at headquarters level in Paris, it's relatively a technical issue, but we are now discussing how we can enhance the role of national commissions in countries where we do not have office. In case of India, as the Mr. Sharma, the Secretary of Higher Education, came, right?
Yes.
To the ceremony.
Okay.
But, right? Mr. Sharma came?
Not today. Yeah, the Prime Minister.
Yes. He is responsible for the UNESCO activities in the country as the Secretary General of National Commission for UNESCO. And in case of India, you are very lucky. The Indian government is very supportive. The idea and then the maintaining the Oroville. So it's not so difficult for us to work together, as the Madam Patel said, if we want to have the kind of international conference. There is a possibility for you means National Commission for UNESCO or the Ministry of Higher Education, sorry, Ministry of Human Resource Development India, as well as all of you and us, can organize this kind of international conference on education. If the ministries can and they're interested. I think it's better to take this opportunity because the PM came here and the secretary came here. And unfortunately, Mr. Sharma is retiring today. Until the, okay, he extended 1 month. Yeah. That's good news because he's very close to me. We have the direct contact with the mobile phone. So the most important thing is the involvement of National Commission. Either India, either Germany, either France. They have a very strong say in the governing board of UNESCO. To understanding this resolution was also initiated by the Indian delegation, permanent delegation, which is based in Paris. And then they negotiated a lot, with lobby a lot, with the supporting countries. Otherwise, the member states are not in favor of supporting very strongly and in such a very committed manner one the body which is outside of UNESCO. So I think the important thing is the how you can lobby with the voting member states, which consists the executive board. We have the 54 executive board members. India is also the member. Dr. Karan Singh was the executive board member. He is retiring now. But somebody will be replacing him from India. And that person will play a key role to materialize your vision and wish written in this resolution. And the UNESCO New Delhi office will be very happy to work with you in that direction.
Thank you very much. Are there further questions from your side? Thierry, we have some artists also who have worked already for the UNESCO for a long time. Maybe you have particular questions to Mr. Ayami?
Thank you so much and welcome. We are so happy to hear you. Sorry for my poor English, but you helped me, no?
Yes.
We are young, all of Ilian, but old men. Means that we come from Réunion Island, close to Mauritius, as you said. And we, for 35 years, we directed the International Dance and Theatre Company linked with UNESCO Paris. And for minority and identity, for culture of peace, we created a UNESCO club in the Indian Ocean. So we are very happy to work with UNESCO for long, and it was very supportive because we share the same values, as you said. No special question, except that, Jürgen, we want to manifest that in the big event we want to organize about education, we should also think about culture and art, and we want to commit about that, because as you know, art and culture is a big part of education. It's also the teaching of Mother and Sri Aurobindo, and we are here for that.
Thank you very much.
You can speak. Please.
Okay. So, yes. I am very happy also to be in Auroville and to meet someone from UNESCO because I think because of our background, we really want to give a testimony about the richness of be together and work together and create together. And it shows that to work in the field of culture can give also a great testimony. So. My question is very simple, so how we can go further and work and with the culture, with Auroville, UNESCO, share a beautiful message to the world and have an impact, more impact on the world as we see the situation of the world.
Yeah, please.
Welcome. Thank you for being here. 1979 was UNESCO's year for International Mullah Nasruddin. And for those of you who don't know, Mullah Nasruddin was the clown poet, and the deep essence that comes from the earth. There is a movement internationally right now for medical clowning. I am a medical clown. I am Orvillian. I live in, I am of Canadian passport, but I am of Indian origin, born in Tanzania. So one of the things that we do with medical clowning incorporates everything with UNESCO. And we work, we have worked with the UNICEF. I realize it's a different branch, but there's something very, very special about the clown. And in Tamil Nadu, we're called Komali or Vikatakavi. And Vikatakavi is the poet that can gather people from everywhere, from from all cultures, into this sense of spirit. We have medical clowns internationally. We're having our fourth medical clown conference in Vienna in 2 months. But what would be wonderful is how can we host this here in Auroville, where the world really, really does come together. Not for clowns that are just entertainment and fun, that's part of it. But part of it is a really deep, deep essence of the spiritualness of the soul. And Mother speaks about laughter and smiles. And when those elements come in, things vanish. It vanishes. The pain vanishes. And so I ask you, and I plant the seed with many of you, I've spoken to many of you, clowns, like you artists are a lot better than clowns. Clowns kind of have a difficult time trying to figure this out because we're so in the moment. But I offer this up as a gift, and we'll see how it comes to fruition.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
I don't want to wind it up because Asabella want to say something also, but thank you very much for your actually concrete offer to cooperate with Auroville also in preparation of a coming event which has to be thoughtfully planned. But it helps us a lot because I remember when we went to Delhi with that conference, the Auroville said, oh come on, not conference, what again, it's talks and talks and talks and resolutions, nothing comes out. What we try now, and we are happy that you're here, to be a little bit more proactive. It's not paper, and we would like to get life into that paper. We would like to get active involved in this, and therefore, we are thankful for you to give us the opportunity and also some lines how to operate with the national commissions, for example. If there are not any other additional questions, I would really like to invite Asta to... Please, yes, yes, for the...
I have one question, and this is, I remember very well, I was not here, but I read about it, when Madame Bokuba was appointed Director General, I think one of her first visits was to Auroville. So do you see a chance that Madame
Audrey
Azoulay,
yes,
she might also come to Auroville?
I think it depends. She's the top, so she needs to share her vision first, which has not yet been so popular now. And we means the UNESCO staff members, including myself, are very much looking forward to listening to her in the April executive board meeting. That will be the place where she expressed her vision, her wish, and her strategy and her priorities. Madame Bokuba, the very much the favor in the term humanity and also the soft power, the instrument, the talk something about the culture and the medical class. All the things are the kind of soft power, which is quite critical. The Secretary General of United Nations, he is now very serious in repositioning the UN system. He issued a draft report last December, in which he mentioned the three most important the role of UNESCO, UN.
Right.
One, the prevention of conflict. Two, prevention of climate change impact. And three, prevention of threats, many threats to social and human beings. So, of course, the UN has a PKO and Security Council, but he believes the so-called soft power or the preventive power, and before something critical things happening. And in line with his repositioning report, the Madame Ansley will express herself in April executive board meeting. My advice to you is listen to her and then try to find out the most effective phrase or the word to invite her. I think she is very much interested in India. She already told me that she will come most probably from June to September if there is official invitation from India. So if you really want to her to come here, you have to talk with again the government. It might be the Prime Minister's office, it might be the National Commission for UNESCO. And my advice is talk to National Commission for UNESCO and then express your wish to invite her to this place. Madame Bogwate and then why not Madame Ansley.
Thank you very much for a very concrete answer to this concrete question. Thank you very much. Please
ask. Dr. Ayoghi, in welcoming you in Norway and welcoming the setup of a UNESCO office in New Delhi, as a long-time participant in the experiment of Farben, collectively, I would take this occasion to express our gratitude to India. Because when the idea of Orbit was presented in UNESCO Paris headquarters right at the beginning, she was the one country that came forward and said, we will host Orbit. And successive governments over 50 years have supported it and yet not interfered with the organic growth of Orwell. These things are very significant. A government that supports but gives it the freedom to grow. I mean, these are qualities that are not always to be found and which are essential when we talk of international institutions especially. And the Prime Minister of India's visit just 3 days back confirmed his warm support and his emphasis on education. So thank you, and thank Jorgen for allowing me to say these few words, which I think express the sentiments of the community of Farben in general. And if we don't have any further questions, can I invite you all to have a cup of tea outside?
Thank you very much.
Let me just briefly thank you, all of you, because it is a special day. Everyone is busy to make it here. It's great. Thank you very much for this. In particular, Mr. Tsunkar, I wanted to thank you very much to make it possible on a short notice in this very difficult week to attend the meeting and to address Mr. Ayoghi. Thank you very much for coming. And thank you, Astana, for being a wonderful host.